The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
White Christmas again, what do you expect? But it really isn't.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
That's what it really is. It's another Blue Monday.
Got to work.
The working stiffs, slush, neither slush nor stow, nor snow nor rain will keep you from toiling again, making your taxes so that you can pay for all the Muslims that are coming in with six wives, paying your taxes so the immigrants can have babies as frequently as the snow falls from the sky. Making your tax payments so that Disney can fire the IT workers and replace them with cheaper workers from India and say it's in the name of socialism, or is it capitalism? Well, whatever it is, it's in the name of greed. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Main topic is Trump, of course. As you well know, the big thing is this Saturday. Tonight's a stooge debate of some kind of town hall meeting. Who knows what it is with Hillary and the commie there. Who's going to watch that garbage? She's finished. And the thing is, we read that Trump may skip the Fox debate for his own town hall, which I've recommended for months now. I've said on the air, I don't call him up and say, hey, Donald, how are you? Enjoying the meatloaf? I don't say that. I've said it on the radio. I assume he has people listen to radio. He knows what people are saying about him, as he should. He's running a presidential campaign. He knows that the socialists disguised as Cruz supporters, crony socialists, have been supporting Cruz. Now they've jumped ship and they're supporting Trump because they see which way the wind is blowing. And he knows I've supported him from the get-go because I know that he's the best for America. He's the only chance we have to save the country. Now we read that he may skip the Fox debate for his own town hall unless they dump her. Now, I said the same thing. What does he need these debates for? He is so far ahead that his absence would be a greater presence than his presence. That's all. So we don't know if he's going to do it. He is on the show tomorrow. I'm pleased to say that Donald Trump will be on the Savage Nation tomorrow. And it's a very, very big thing for me. I hope it'll be a big thing for you. So I went to my Facebook page. That's the Michael Savage Facebook page. And I did a little line, one line. Donald Trump will be on my radio show on Tuesday. Send your questions here. What would you like me to ask Mr. Trump? So we have 14,000 people were reached in the last hour or so. Some of the questions are good, some are idiotic. And I'm going to read some of them to you. And then we're going to go on to other topics. If you think that's the whole show, you are wrong. We're going to talk about a group called Britain First, which I didn't know existed until I found it on my own Facebook page. A listener posted it. And I could not believe there's such a group. There are Christian patrols in Muslim neighborhoods. They're marching through Muslim neighborhoods holding crosses. You should see the hate coming out of the Muslims who scream at them, it's our country, get out of our neighborhood. Yeah, these are big British guys. These are the British types that built Britain before the... I have such contempt for the vermin who have taken over the West, those suicidal liberals who have stolen Britain from the Brits, stolen America from the Americans. Well, anyway, there's a Britain First movement, and they're marching through Muslim neighborhoods with crosses giving out newspapers. Naturally, the vermin in the media are calling them names like racist and whatnot. The real racists are the Muslims who scream, get out of our country, get out of our town. We'll take over your country. You cannot believe this. We'll be talking about that on the show as well as all the news, views, and reviews. We have a new report from the radio industry. Inside Radio has reported that afternoon drive is the king of radio time. I've always known that. It says radio stations have always made it a priority to corral listeners with strong morning drive shows that amp brand loyalty and ratings. It is, however, actually afternoon drive that draws the highest cum. The fact may not be a news flash to programmers, but anyway, I've known this since I began in radio. And then they explain it. I happen to have an afternoon drive show. PM drive is 3 p.m. to well, till the show is over on the East Coast, noon on the West Coast, which is why they move my time to noon on the West Coast, which is a little bit of a stretch for my people on the West. They like to listen to me in the afternoon. And they say the audience drops dramatically after 6 p.m. on the East Coast. It drops to a very, very low amount, to an insignificant amount. People don't pay attention to it, which I've known also, by the way. Very interesting stuff. And it's mainly about, you know, radio. You may or may not be interested. So let's get down to business on the Savage Nation. Tonight's the town hall meeting with Hillary Clinton. How exciting. And Bernie the commie and the other guy who no one even knows why, what he's doing there. It's like a bowling pin they put up there named O'Malley. O'Malley the bowling pin. Okay. Here's some comments for Donald Trump. Mr. Trump, please explain how your temporary closing of the border will work. I like it, but a lot of people do not understand what you mean by temporary. I don't even understand the question. Mr. Trump, with the price of oil at an all-time low, can you get the restaurant industry and grocery stores to lower their food prices? He wants the government to interfere with prices now in a supermarket? They don't even understand how the world works. This is not a communist nation. The government doesn't fix prices in supermarkets, sir. It just shows you people. Okay, next. Mr. Trump, how do you plan on wiping out ISIS when they're in many places? Mr. Trump, would you be willing to record an album of you rapping for the greater good? Idiot, stupid stuff. Mr. Trump, if you fail to deport the 25 million or more illegals who are spread far and wide across the continent, would you at least stop all government aid using taxpayer money? Another one says, you mean he's actually going to tell us more than I will make America great again? And not get mad when we actually want to know how? Okay. Will he be true to his promises and always put the American people first before he makes any decision in case he wins the presidency? Oh, God. I don't know if I should even do this. I'm already bored of it. Let's see. Let's go down. As an Assyrian American, my question for Mr. Trump, Assyrians are currently experiencing genocide and are being driven out of their lands and homes. As President Trump, how will you help them? Okay. Could I please have some money? Someone wrote. What's this now? If you're elected president, would you allow Hillary Clinton to be prosecuted if the FBI charges her for endangering the security of the United States? And if you win the primary, would you consider Ted Cruz as your running mate? Okay. Mr. Trump, the political correctness disease is ruining the military, the Marine Corps in particular. There's been talk of lowering physical standards to allow women into frontline combat jobs. If elected, would you let the military continue down this destructive path? Well, I think the answer is, would you stop the military from going down Obama's destructive path? Obama wants to destroy the military. Mr. Trump, where do you stand with Israel? Mr. Trump, why are you aligning yourself with Palin? And so on. Cyber threats, rules of engagement for our soldiers. Who'd you pick to be your running mate? Would you have Congress and judges do a drug test? I would love that. See, I suggested, I'm the first on the radio, if we ever did drug testing on Congress, you know, like if you take a job in a corporation, I think you need to take a drug test to work for Domino's Pizza. A pizza chain requires that you pee in a cup. I would say if we forced everyone in government from the president down to pee in a cup, and you published a drug test every 90 days, 90% of them would have to resign if you actually did that. That would explain their madness. That would explain their madness. Can we bring back trade schools focusing on both old trades like mechanics, welding, etc.? That's such a great idea. And newer ones like computer cybersecurity at a reasonable cost. I've suggested it. I went to high school. There were three choices in Queens, New York. Three choices. One was regular high school. I went to Jamaica High School. Next to it was a trade school where the guys who didn't want to become whatever, a white-collar guy, they worked with their hands. They became plumbers, electricians, carpenters. They probably make more money than most of the people who went to the regular school. And then there was a third school called, I think, commercial for people who wanted to be a secretary. But we got rid of it. You know why? Because everyone's an Einstein. Oh, yes. Everyone's an Einstein if they're given the chance. Everyone's equal in socialist America. It's just a matter of having started out with impediments. You know, like they lived in poverty. Like some of the greatest geniuses on earth never lived in poverty, okay? What a bunch of garbage. If Michael Savage... Oh, this is horrible. Look at this. People, they put up these ugly things about me. Marilyn Lickett, you wrote a thing like this. I'll tell you what, Marilyn. You know what you are? You are lower than someone who licks a toilet seat. I'm not even going to read what this woman wrote. See, I pay people to monitor these sites, and they don't do it. They're lazy. So I have to hire another person. Could you try to curb your urge to be flippant? Oh, come on. I don't even know if I want to read this. All right, forget about it. I'm not doing this. This segment is over. If you care to comment on what I just said, please don't, because I'm bored of it. So let's move on. Let's move on to some of the headlines on michaelsavage.com. Let's see what I have up there. Britain first carries out Christian patrol in Islamist hotspot. This is good. They said this is a Christian country. The Muslims are screaming, get out of here. We're going to take over this country. Flash, Trump on Savage Show Tuesday, spread the word. 3, UK, new reforms give immigrants with more than one wife extra benefits. Isn't that tolerant? Isn't that wonderful under Cameron? That if someone from, let's say, a throwback country that beats their women, beats their children, wants to have 6 of them like 6 puppies, and he dresses them head to toe. Take a look at that piece of garbage with the headscarf on. Take a look at that filth that they brought in there. That filth can walk the streets of England and I can't. Look at, he's walking around with 2 wives with black covering their whole bodies. They look like they're wearing tent awnings that fell down upon them. And that's marching around England. He gets more benefits because he has extra wives. How can a nation survive its fools? It cannot. Look how we're doing in this country under the fool in the White House. He thinks he's fooling the world. Okay, let's move on. 2 Israeli injured, 1 in critical condition by Palestinian terrorists. You don't care about that. Another one broke into a house and stabbed the mother in front of 6 children. What's the difference? Another one broke in and stabbed 2 women today in their houses in Israel. What's the difference? Just Jews. Jewish blood's cheap. Glenn Beck says he prefers Bernie Sanders over Trump. I mean, you're surprised? If you take that much hemorrhoid medication, it affects your thinking eventually. Do you know that? Robert, it's true. It must be the preparation H crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than heroin. I know that heroin crosses the blood-brain barrier as fast. The molecule is so small, it goes right to the brain. And I know that vitamin C crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than heroin, which is why it's a good treatment for it. When it's given properly and is done intravenously, it's been done in clinics. But I didn't know that preparation H crosses the blood-brain barrier at such a fast rate. How else do you explain that Glenn Beck says he prefers Bernie Sanders over Trump? Answer. There's no other explanation whatsoever that I can say on national radio. Let's see what else. Is dementia risk falling? Shows a surprising drop in some countries. The risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. Would you believe that? Isn't that good news? The sky is not falling, by the way, and everything. Some things are good. Now, let me give you a quick one-minute diversion if you're just listening and you're bored to death because you were in the snow and the slush and football and you want to hear about idiots with balls banging into each other. God bless you. It's a big world. There's a lot of people in it. People have to do what they have to do. One of my hobbies is watching birds. I live next to the water in San Francisco. There's thousands of seafowl of many species feeding on the sardines. And it's very reassuring for a while. And now I can't stand it. I want to get out the shotgun. They're waking me. They're keeping me awake at night. They're squawking as the schools come in next to the house, driving me nuts. The house stinks of like, the house even stinks of the fish that they're ripping apart with the eggs falling out. Of course, I'm not going to shoot them. I mean, they're doing what they do. But one of the things that I love about all of this is that it shows that San Francisco Bay is so healthy. The birds are healthy. The fish are healthy. Do you know why the birds are healthy and the fish are healthy and the water is relatively clean? Because of environmental wackos from 40 years ago. The very environmental wackos that oafs in the media call environmental wackos, because of them, we have clean waters, cleaner air than you would ever imagine. Had there been no environmental wackos, as some cigar-smoking oafs in the media would have you believe, the bays would be polluted. The air would be unbreathable. Do you understand that this is where government comes in? Do you understand that limited government is required, that we can't live in anarchy? Okay, think about it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Well, welcome back to Afternoon Drive with Michael Savage. Okay, so I did read Trump questions from Facebook, dead in the water. Two, Britain First, dead in the water. Tell you Afternoon Driver's King of Radio, dead in the water. I tell you about the Birds Bay and pollution, not a call. I tell you that Glenn Beck supports Bernie Sanders instead of Donald Trump, would rather support Sanders than Trump. And I think it's because preparation crosses the blood-brain barrier faster than vitamin C or heroin. Not a call. Nothing's like a dead day. I don't get this. What is everyone stupefied? Where are they? There's no sporting events. There's nothing out there today. But nevertheless, they're not there. I guess I have to use the key words that motivate radio. Let's see. Founding fathers. Say founding fathers eight times. Reagan. The world began with Ronald Reagan. I once knew someone who delivered mail for Ronald Reagan. I knew someone who delivered sponge cake to Ronald Reagan. I personally am related to the person who knew Nancy Reagan's shoemaker. I'm directly related to the people in National Review because they know Ronald Reagan's aunt. Ronald Reagan, National Review. National Review. Pure constitutionalist. I'm a conservative. Anyone who doesn't follow Ronald Reagan is not a conservative. I mean, I could do that for 3 hours if you'd like. Maybe you'd like to talk about that. Very easy to do. So I'm telling you that without the environmental wackos, you know what you'd have? Let alone San Francisco Bay, which is rather pure right now. You can eat the fish. The birds are healthy. It's because of the environmental wackos of 40 years ago. I'm trying to explain something to you. See, you can be a knee-jerk conservative just as you can be a knee-jerk liberal. And that's something I've been trying to tell you now for weeks. Knee-jerk conservatives say the same thing every day. You want me to just liberal bash every day? I've done it for 20 years. It's boring. I invented liberal bashing. So why should I go on with it? I wrote liberalism as a mental disorder. Why should I go on with it? I don't know. I'm in a weird mood. Maybe I'll read from my novel, Abuse of Power, some of my favorite San Francisco scenes. The most important novel to come out of San Francisco in the last 20 years. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The hot story, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is back from paternity leave. That means about 50,000 workers will be fired so they can be replaced from H-1B visa workers from India at half the price. I mean, while he was away, they probably had a job. Now forget about it. 2 months of paternity leave. His wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan, gave birth to the couple's first child, a daughter named Max, at the end of November. Yeah, I got to pause here. Let me put it in a nice way. I see all these celebrities having children, and they think that when they have a child, it's the first child ever born on Earth. They think it's something divine, which is something normal, by the way, for parents. And they think that their child's going to be different than every other child ever born. Of the billions of children ever born, only their celebrity child will be different, smarter, better, brighter. Well, it can't happen statistically. And every time I see another celebrity in Hollywood who takes time out from snorting coke or using ecstasy or speed to clean up for a few months to have a child, and they go back to her wayward ways, I pity the poor child that she has. And I say to myself, yeah, get back to me when the child's 13. Then get back to me when the child's 16. What are they telling us to have this wonderful child for? What are they using it as a new handbag that they just bought? Why don't they just raise the child instead of telling me about it? And who names a daughter Max and expects her to grow up like normal? You name your daughter Max is like throwing a negative at her. Why don't you give her a girl's name? What do you mean Max? What, your name for his father? Who names a child a man's name? Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wasn't Obama's mother's name Stanley? Wasn't her mother's name Stanley? Something weird like that. How'd that work out for America? Well, the thing is, I mean, there's such a thing as evolution and breaking down norms and everything's equal. That's wonderful. But let's look at the actual results. You know, let's look at the results of all these ideas. These ideas haven't really worked out that well. this idea of anarchy has it. So I read this on Friday, No Man Is an Island by John Donne, and I'll read it again, because it relates to what I just said to you. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And that shows the connection, the interconnection between all of humanity. Everyone seems to know that, except extremists of the practitioner of the religion of pieces. They don't see themselves as part of humanity. They see humanity as garbage, filth, vermin to be killed, murdered, maimed in the most horrible ways. How can a world tolerate such an offshoot of humanity as this and disguise it as something to be accepted? How can Britain import people who see themselves as not only superior to the British while they're living on welfare, but something that will replace the British itself? How can they not throw them out of the country? How can we have a president who seems to side with the worst elements of humanity and attack the best elements of humanity? Going after... I was on a tear just now. I got to slow down. It's Monday. It's Blue Monday at that, because it snowed over the weekend, and it's January. It's not supposed to snow. Why, that snow broke records by 1 inch, not by 100 feet, not even by a foot, by several inches. It broke the record in New York by, I think, less than an inch or two from 1947. Wow, what a shock that is. That proves definitively that they know nothing about weather. That's what it proves. Zero. Proves nothing. That's all. So there's a big snowstorm. Let's see, 1947. Now do the math. 47, that's 53. 53 plus 16 is 69. Minus 13, plus 2, plus 3, minus 7, plus 8 is a number. I have no idea what it is, but bet it on Powerball. You're guaranteed to lose. All you people who think that your gravy train is coming in tomorrow. So about every half century, we get a big snowstorm. God gets bored. He's working on other universes. 50 years to him is like a second. 50 years is nothing. He forgot about Earth for 50 years. He looked down. He said, let's see what's going on down there. They got a drought. I throw a snow at him. That's all. They need a nice snow in New York to clean the streets and keep the pimps and prostitutes in their houses for a week. Keep the pickpockets and the drug dealers in their houses for a month, for a few days. There's one thing about the snow. The city was safe for a while. People could walk in the street without a fear of being mugged in New York, because all of the bad people were hiding in their apartments during the snowstorm. It was the only time they were safe. Play me some music. I feel like a thing in my... I'm going to the doctor today for the dog, so I'm in a weird mood. Today's the cardiology day. Not a big deal. I understand it's only a dog. To you, it's like a turkey or a bird. Most of you don't care about animals. All right, I do. I'm a bit odd like that. At night, I worry about animals, things like that. I think about where are they going, how do they live. I think of the swans. I think of the swallows. I think about how they fly so far and what noble creatures they are. I think about those things, like how does God create such a wonderful system such as this? You look at the animals that fly thousands of miles in a migration, and you look at the things flying over a mountain. This was done by a French cinematographer years ago. And you ask yourself, how in the world do these animals have such fortitude where they barely have the energy to get over the Himalayas on their migration? And you see them struggling. That French photographer, I don't know how he did this. I don't know if you ever saw this thing, National Geographic, years ago. And they fly over the mountain. And they use the very last ounce of energy to get over that mountain. And some of them don't make it. They drop right out of the sky. Survival of the fittest, my friend. Survival of the fittest, my friend. Now you say, what are you getting at, Michael? Should a society be based upon survival of the fittest? No. We have to take care of our weak. Those who are born disabled have to have help. We have to help the weak ones and the sick ones. But when we have 15 million Americans claiming disability, you know that those federal disability benefits are not going to the most needy. You know. You know how many billions of dollars a month are being sucked out by liars who are faking disability? Do you know how many phony immigrants come in here under asylum claims when there is no need for that asylum, and they suck the system dry? You're telling me that that's what a sane society does, and it doesn't crack down on these leeches and these parasites? So you want me to tell you that I don't know what's going on? I mean, I study nature, and I know societies are different than nature. Human societies are organized in many ways, but one of the things a human society does is make sure that those who are very, very sick or disabled are helped by the healthy people. That's a good thing. But what happens when you have leeches and parasites who use that disability to suck the system dry, or use their sexuality to pretend that they're victims, or use their immigrant status to claim that they're victims of racism, a term invented by the communists in order to shut everybody up? What do you do when you have a thing like that? You get a new president and he cleans house, which is why the Republicans and the Democrats and the media hate Donald Trump. Now, I personally don't think Donald's going to be able to do a lot. Not with the crippled government that we have right now and the jackals in the Congress. But we'll have to see. Obama has broken down so many barriers of democracy that maybe Trump can do what Obama's doing and do it simply with, let's say, a pen and a BlackBerry. But no one uses a BlackBerry anymore. Why? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Now, all these years old, Obama's been running around saying, you know what, I'm going to squeeze every last ounce of change out of this year I have left. So the other day he appoints an openly gay head of Department of Defense. Okay, well, what's wrong with that? The guy gets up and says, this is my husband, in front of warriors. See, I thought about that in great detail over the weekend. What is wrong with that? It's a direct slap in the face to the warrior cult in America, which, by the way, has its own mores, its own values, and it doesn't happen to appreciate all of the attributes that Obama seems to think the world should accept. And so what you do is you live and let live if you're a decent president. And just as you would not insult a minority community by imposing upon a minority community values that it doesn't accept, why would you do this to a warrior culture unless you wanted to tell the warrior culture to drop dead and screw you and make as many men as they can run them out of the military, because that's what's going to happen. I have received emails from people who come from one generation after another of U.S. military. If I could ever tell you what Obama has done to the morale, I try to tell it to you in Government Zero with zero military, but I only skim the surface of the damage he has done and is doing in his last months of his reign. That's if it's only a few months. He's trying to make it permanent. All the damage he has done, he's trying to make it permanent so it cannot be undone. He is trying as fast as he can to wreck every attribute of this great nation, and he should be stopped. I don't care whether he has been impeached. They should stop this maniac before he does more damage. He is like the mad bomber running around a subway planting bombs in various subway stations. This man is crazy. But because he's like a crazy person who's never been stopped, they won't do it. They're afraid of one word. Racism. Well, you know what? It's time to stop being afraid of that word. Throw it right back in their face. Because racism is a two-way street, let me tell you that. It runs two ways, not one way. It's not a one-way train. But then I'm only a talk show host. I'm not running for anything. No, not indeed. I am not running for anything. I'm just running for the truth. I'm not running from it. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-2822. That's old 855-400-SAVAGE. If you care to join the show, well, we have one open line. Let's take some calls. What do we have now? Oh, we have these callers. They've finally found that I have a show. Let's see. Oh, let's do a God question. I don't want to do Trump. This is good. Anna on WJR. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm going through a difficult time in my life. I wanted to know if you ever doubted that God existed. And
Yes, all the time. Yes, all the time, and you're in very good company. Because even the great saint, Mother Teresa, said in her last months, she was very conflicted because she doubted God existed sometimes, in fact, too often, and she never told anybody about it.
How do you deal with it? What kind of advice do you have? Because
I'll give you some advice. God is so great that he doesn't need you to believe in him all the time. It's that you need to believe in him. He doesn't need you to believe in him. You need to believe in him. He doesn't need you. You need him. So you're saying, how do you deal with what? The guilt of not believing in God? Or what do you have when you don't believe in God? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the guilt that not believing in God when I have doubts, and also when I start reading Bible, and that's what really got me going as thinking about all this stuff. Because a lot of Christians say, oh, God wants me to do this, or God wants me to do this, and God is going to protect me from this. And when I look at all the horror that's going on in the world, it just, I'm thinking, well, where is God?
Okay, when you look at Yazidi girls, 8 years old, being raped by Muslims who take them for sex slaves, and the world does nothing, you say, where is God?
Yeah, exactly.
When you see fanatical Muslims in Israel breaking into houses of Jews and stabbing mothers in front of their children, beautiful mothers, God-fearing mothers who pray every day, you say, where is God, right?
Yes, and then you, last week you had this story about the Jewish man that
The one who survived, had his family killed in the Holocaust. They put him into a labor camps. He came out in 1947, and he started his life all over again. He's now the oldest man on earth. He's 113. And he said the reason he's alive is because of God. That's what you're asking me, right?
Yes, and then how could he do it, looking at all the horror that...
I don't know. See, this is the truth. I guess you have to be somewhat simplistic. And that's where the word faith comes in. And that's where the word belief comes in. I mean, it's blind faith, and you can't question it, you can't doubt it. Because once you become skeptical about the existence of God, when you try to rationalize it, how do you explain a school bus full of Christian children going off a cliff with everyone dying in the school bus? What, God did that? I came to terms with this 25 years ago. I'll tell you very simply. You ready for this? Write it down. God is not omnipotent. God is omnipresent. And that's what enabled me to both believe in God and believe in chance. He does not control everything that happens on the earth every moment, but he does exist. It's sort of like a guy who creating something and then walking away from it, letting it run on its own merits. And maybe intervening once in a while if someone really reaches out to him. That's how I see it. He certainly doesn't talk to every man every second and give every man guidance and protect them. I don't believe that. Do you?
No. He doesn't do that for me.
But I'll tell you this. I will tell you this. As I said that to you, I got frightened that God heard me and he was going to punish me. See, shows you that as rational as I am, and as educated as I am, and as mature I am in years, I still carry with me this almost blind faith in a greater being. And I can't explain it to you. I can't explain it to you, but I wish you well in your problems. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
Savage Nation. Did you see Hillary's coughing fit?
Well, why is that a news story, Hillary's coughing fit? I don't understand why that's a story. What implications that her health is bad? Her politics are bad. They're old. They're not for our time. Whatever they were, they're not for our time. That's all. She should retire and be the good grandmother that I know she is. And he should retire and open... I think that there's room for Sanders. I hear that there's a waiter's position in Katz's Delicatessen in New York. All the old Jewish guys died off except him. He's still around. And it's been replaced by immigrants who work in a Jewish deli. They can't find an authentic deli man. So when he loses and goes down in flames as a laughing stock, he is. I don't know. I'd put him behind either the French fry area. Maybe he'd like to carve up a roast beef or a corned beef. He could be at the front giving out the tickets and kibitz people. That's where he belongs. A kibitzer at the front of a deli giving out toothpicks after you eat and then grabbing you by the lapel and giving you communist philosophy as they have done in the Lower East Side for the last 50 years. That's Bernie Sanders, but this country is so sick in the head with so many stupid people, mainly in Hollywood. They love Bernie Sanders. You hear this? Why? They pay what? They want to pay more taxes and they want to be subjected to more bombings? What? What sense do they make? Well, they don't. That's why they're actors. They pretend that they're heroes. They make believe they're strong men and strong women. They're excellent at it. That's why we watch them. I love watching them. But they're empty shells. They do what the directors tell them to do. And now they're reading scripts about politics given to them by George Soros' minions. News, views, and reviews in our return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287. America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You can come to you at any time in your life. Rupert Murdoch got remarried at age 88. Can you imagine that? How does that work? What's with these media people? What's the guy, Winehouse or whatever, who runs? The guy who's like a 97,000 years old and lives in Beverly Hills? With a wife that they were investigating, Sheldon Newman. I don't remember his name. Redstone. Sumner Redstone. They don't stop. They never die. God bless them. And they still have a sex drive. This is amazing, the human condition. But when you think about it, it's a good thing. Sex drive is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. Why? Well, ask any doctor. He'll tell you that if an older person has a sex drive, that means they're healthy and they're going to live longer. They have a reason to get up in the morning. They don't want to just look at the headlines. They want to, what, a guy wants to have a romance or a woman wants to look in the mirror and feel good about herself, right? Put on nice clothes for someone. What's wrong with that? What do you want to become, like a crazy person that all sex is bad? Which brings us to Hillary suffers massive coughing fit. Now, I don't know if it's related to what I'm saying, but in a certain crazy way it is. Clinton may be unable to finish remarks. Top of drudge. It's a sad thing, I mean, to watch, but look, if you had a husband like Bill Clinton, you could fill in any way you want the rest of that paragraph. You'd also be coughing and running for the presidency. Democrat frontrunner Hillary Clinton had a coughing fit on Monday. We'll do little to quell rumors that the former U.S. Secretary of State is in poor health. The 68-year-old grandmother had to stop a speech in West Des Moines to try and compose herself after a hacking attack. Amy Chozick of the New York Times said on Twitter, Hillary Clinton's coughing attack at West Des Moines event may be unable to finish remarks. Big deal. Clinton's health has been a question of speculation since her last coughing fit before the House Select Committee on Benghazi. Media titan Matt Drudge called Clinton's apparent health issues the biggest revelation of the Benghazi hearings. Drudge tweeted, Hillary health was biggest revelation of the hearing. Coughing fit. Slow speaking. Obviously induced by meds. Choose not to believe if you must. Drudge tweeted. The former first lady also sustained a concussion after falling inside her home in December 2012. She was given blood thinners for a blood clot in her head and returned to work January 7, 2013. Okay, you get the picture. We're not laughing about her health. But what is impelling this woman to run for office with this kind of obvious undertone going on here? What's impelling this woman to run? Well, she's losing to a commie from New York, a low-life street agitator named Bernie Sanders. That's enough to get anyone to fight. I mean, you know, nobody wants to go out off the stage of life when they're on the bottom. They want to go off on the top, right? I mean, she's losing to a low-life university pickle manufacturer type. A spritzer. A commie spritzer. It's a hard pill to swallow. And secondly, look, the email thing is hanging over her head. You know, you talk about stress. She knows that she can only push that away so long. She has the nerve to say the Inspector General of the United States is part of a vast right-wing conspiracy. That her emails contain such secret information that senior lawmakers are not allowed to look at them. Okay? So, the fact is that she's got all this weighing in her mind at night, and it's affecting her health, and if she was smart, she'd get off the stage. Hey, if I reach that point, if I reach the point where every 2 minutes I was coughing on the air or whatever, I would quit. I'd say, I'm sorry, my health doesn't permit it. I'm taking my doctor's advice. From now on, I'll just tweet. You'll be following me on Tweeterberg. I'll go to Tweeterberg's face page, and I'll tweet to you. But no, I'm not. You have a certain point. You give it up, man. You just let it go. You just let it go. But she won't let it go. There's a madness here. Power madness knows no bounds. So there it is. Criminal indictment for the server felonies may be behind it. Why is she hacking? Maybe she's sick. Or maybe she told the truth and she coughed. They used to say people sneeze on the truth when I was a kid. I don't know where that came from, you know, the folk tales. Maybe in her case she coughs on the truth when she called Bernie Sanders whatever. WABC Steve, all right, Hillary's coughing. Why does it matter? Go ahead, please.
Well, the first thing I want to mention is about her possibly taking medication, as you gathered, that might cause the cough. There's Ramipril and other medications that are used for high blood pressure and so on, so it may be a sign of that. But I wanted to call you about a much more important issue that you raised, which may turn out to be the most important issue in the campaign, and which I think could be the key to understanding what's going on with Muslims. And that is, I wanted to suggest to you the idea, because you've already been talking about inbreeding among Muslims, that there is a, what I'm calling the M gene. It's a sociopathy gene that is characteristic not only of Muslims, but which involves a certain amount of assortative mating, part of which is your concept of inbreeding among
Muslims. Let's back it up for a minute. It's well known that there's a lot of marriage of cousins in the Muslim world. It's well known, especially in the tribal world and the more primitive world, marriage of first cousins. And we also know that the closer you marry within your bloodline, the higher the risk is of genetic damage. That's a medical fact.
Exactly.
Are you still there, doctor?
Absolutely.
All right, so what more do we need to say without moving into an area where we're going to all sound like cracker racists? I mean, what's your point? You're going to prevent them from marrying? The bigger issue is, why are we bringing them in from Syria when they can't vet them? Why are we bringing them from Syria when we read that ISIS has a passport manufacturing machine that can make U.S. passports look like they're issued by the U.S. government? What sane nation would let them come in here?
Absolutely, Michael, but I want to call your attention to the fact that there's among Muslims an extremely high proportion that I believe have the M gene, the sociopathy gene. But we find among other populations, among blacks, a large number who are...
Oh, now you're going to go down the racist road. All Muslims, all blacks are bad, right? That's what you're trying to get at to get me in trouble.
No, there are Hispanics and there are Jews, there are among...
Are there any white people who have this gene, or it's only them?
No, it's white people as well. There's sociopathy...
Oh, I'm glad you added that. Thank you for putting it in as a footnote. I'm glad you added it, because I do appreciate my radio career.
No, I'm not saying that it's exclusive to Muslims.
This is like white supremacist radio, your call. I mean, it's like KKK radio, what you just said.
I think it's as high as 40-50% of the white population as well has...
Oh, well, thank you for adding that as another footnote. You could have put it at the top of the list. So what do we do about that? What, the government now decides who can have a child?
Well, no. If it is...
You don't marry relatives, that's all. You prevent the marriage of first cousins. Whether they're a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, you cannot marry a first cousin. But now, what, you're going to start marrying daughters next?
It could be a hopeful thing. In other words, if we can discover what the gene is that's responsible for sociopathy, we could have potentially a cure for what afflicts.
It could be French fries for all I know. Who knows, the gene, the shmeen. We didn't have these problems in America when we had a sane immigration policy. It existed to such an infinitesimal, minimal point that we didn't even worry about it. When I got married so many years ago, in New York, I had to take a Wasserman test. Do you remember what that is?
Yes, it's for syphilis.
Right. Now, why would they have required in the health department that you took a test to make sure you had no syphilis? Because they didn't want you producing children who were damaged, right? Now, what is that considered, some kind of violation of civil rights? That two syphilitics are allowed to marry in New York now?
Yeah, it wasn't, but, you know, right now we have a large range of other disease for...
Of course. You want me to talk about immigrants and epidemics right now? I'd be glad to do it. About all of the viruses that are emerging in the country as a result of Obama's open door policy. The maniac has opened the door, broken the border down, and what's going on in this country is a shocker. I was going to save that for this week. About this new virus that's come up. You've heard about that one, right?
One of Trump's main points.
Let's stay there for a minute. Have you heard of the Zika virus? Z-I-K-A. Zika virus. Do you know anything about it?
No, what I'm saying is that...
All right, thanks for the call. I know he's trying to drag me into a quagmire here where I can't get out of because I already got out of four little sand traps that he set up for me. He's such a sincere caller, that guy. He can only work for Media Matters or for Bernie Sanders. Or he could be George Soros' illegitimate first cousin. I don't know who he is. Zika virus expected to spread throughout America, says World Health Organization. The Zika virus is a mosquito-borne disease suspected of causing serious birth defects, expected to spread to all countries in the Americas except Canada and Chile, the World Health Organization said. Zika has suspected but unproven links to microcephaly, in which babies born to women infected during pregnancy have abnormally small heads. The virus is already present in 21 of the 55 countries and territories across the Americas. Oh, the Americas? You mean south of the border Americas? Oh, you mean El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua? You mean all of those wonderful American countries that Obama brought in by the trainload? It's stressed that the Aedes aegypti mosquito, I love that, Aedes aegypti mosquito, which carries Zika and also dengue and the others, is already present in all countries in the Americas, besides Canada and Chile. Oh, it emerged in Brazil last May. Oh, that's how it happened. Oh, it started in that America, that South America. And the explosive spread of Zika virus to new geographical areas with little population immunity is a cause for concern, especially given the possible link between infection during pregnancy and babies born with small heads. We're not going to joke about microcephaly. So, what does this tell you? It tells us that any nation that has no health screening is insane, and any nation that opens its borders to immigrants with diseases is equally insane. And any president who permits this to go on and prohibits such controls to be enacted is a criminal. And on that pleasant note, I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640. So we're talking about the Zika virus. Pregnant women are at risk in Latin America and the Caribbean nations. And, of course, we have such a moronic president and such an evil Congress, mainly the Democrats. They will not slam the borders shut. They will not impose travel controls. It's a nightmare to understand that a nation like this has no leadership at all. And the link between Zika infection and pregnancy and babies born with small heads is amazing. And there's a surge in this incidents across Latin America, mainly in Brazil. So the United States finally warned pregnant women against traveling to Brazil and these other countries. Now, this is weird because Brazil is gearing up to light the Olympic torch on August 5th and other Olympics. I myself could care less about the Olympics. Every year it's another Olympic. You know, Olympic this, Olympic that. It's basically to sell beer. So it's a big deal. Colombia, Ecuador, El Salvador, and Jamaica have advised women to avoid pregnancy altogether. An idea echoed by a top Brazilian health official. Can you believe this? So why do we permit women from Ecuador, Colombia, El Salvador, and Jamaica to even come into America? Why? Guatemala said Sunday it was raising vigilance levels at maternity wards. Bring in another 100,000 Guatemalan children. Go ahead. Bring them in by the trainload. And when it starts affecting American children, who are you going to blame? Me? Some right-wing maniac? Tried to warn you, huh? But you didn't listen to him because he wasn't a good enough communist? Immigrants and epidemics. Never forget who wrote that. Me. I wrote it before I even started in radio. It's what really set me on a new course politically. There was such a fear of publishing a book by that title by New York publishers. I had had at that point six best-selling books in the health field. And I came up with Immigrants and Epidemics. And at the time, I was my co-author was the dean of a public health school, one of the most prestigious public health professionals in the world. And we were going to co-author it together, and they wouldn't touch the book because they're afraid of offending immigrants. Can you believe this? And I'm talking 25 years ago. It's only gotten much worse. Okay, so what can I say to you? No travel warnings, no border controls, nothing. No travel warnings, no border controls. Just bring them all in. And World Health Organization says, oh, you don't need travel warnings. The most effective form of prevention is getting rid of stagnant water. You hear this? Like it's 1912. And personal protection, such as using bug repellent and sleeping on the mosquito nets. This is in 2016. They're telling you to get a sleeping net and mosquito repellent. It's unbelievable to me. The agency said that while it is clear that Aedes mosquitoes transmit Zika, evidence of other transmission routes was limited. Here we go. You ready for this? All right, you ready for this? One case of possible person-to-person sexual transmission has been described. The virus, which in most infected people only means short-lived flu-like symptoms, could be transmitted through blood and had been isolated in human semen. I rest my case. The corruption in the United States of America is the greatest in the whole world. The insanity, the criminality of the leadership is perhaps the highest in the world. Why? Because they know better. They know better. And you're looking at some moron from Hollywood taking a selfie. That's more important to you than the Zika virus and closing the borders, that's all. Just look at the selfies day and night. Go on Instagram, go on Thisagram, Datagram, and learn nothing. Be a moron. That's all. Just keep touching buttons and know nothing about reality. And think Hillary Clinton's a wonderful woman who wants to save the hop. Forget the hop. There's no hop with what Obama's done to this country, with what the Muslim fanatics are doing to the world. I can't listen to rock and roll anymore like that. Heavy metal, yes. That's it. Just like screaming inside. Then I get this email during the break. Are you ready for this? Now, you know right after the show, I'm running to the veterinarian for Teddy's cardiology appointment. It's not a big deal. I get it. It's just a dog. But he's my spirit friend, and I love him. And I don't mean love him like a human being, but I love him. Maybe in a better way than a human being. But the thing is that we're the only, we're limited by our language. I've taught you this before. We're limited by our English language, which has only one word for love, one verb for love. I love my mother. I love my wife. I love my child. I love this pizza. I love this ball game. I love my car. One verb, right? In Latin, there are 16 verbs for love. Each one is different. So you don't confuse loving your pizza with loving your girlfriend. And in America, because we can't distinguish between loving pizza and loving our girlfriend, some of us actually are married to our girlfriend or to our television set. I'm taking my dog to the cardiologist because I love him. And his murmur, if it's not too strong, then they put him under anesthesia Wednesday to remove some teeth. Again, a dog, but people do these things these days. They're not like dogs in my, you know, my father's generation. They threw them in the garbage when they died. But they didn't all do that, by the way. I almost bought a house once, and I went in the backyard way up here in Marin County. It was, a, you know, like 2-3 acres. There was a pet cemetery in the back. And it was the most touching thing I had ever seen. It was one of the estates from the 1880s. There were like 20 dog graves, and each one had a little headstone with a date, you know, like fuzzy, 1898, 1906, and they had a little poem about him. I was amazed by this pet cemetery. So I'm not alone in my feeling for a dog. But now I get this. There's a guy I was a friend with for years. We were very close friends. And he left the area, moved away. And I heard that he had cancer. I haven't been in touch with him. About a year ago, I heard he had cancer, and I lost his phone number. So I swear to God, an hour ago, I emailed his wife. I said, how's he doing? I'm not going to read his name. I'll just read an initial. It says, Jay is dictating what I am writing, but due to the drugs, his voice is weak, and talking by phone will be difficult today. He dictated the letter below. Michael Savage, I am in blank hospital right now, and hopefully home by the end of the week. The cancer is very aggressive and has spread to my liver. but my faith and my inner strength is so strong it is carrying me through this. I truly appreciate who you are and what you do for all of us. Your words over the airwaves have undoubtedly changed many minds to see the truth, and that is quite an accomplishment. I hope to be home by the end of the week and would love if you could visit and we can catch up. So I sent a reply. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm giving you an example. It's the way of all flesh. It's the way of all, I mean, wherever you turn. Wherever you turn, another one going down. Another one going down. The good ones go down, and the evil ones, nothing happens to them. I see evil never, they never get diseases. They don't die. Look at the Castro filth. Evil, torturers, murderers, they're not dead yet. Not a heart attack, nothing. Nothing kills them. They're like the devil. Like the devil, and the disease doesn't take them. And the good ones, I don't know. This guy was a good guy. Very strong man, by the way. No weakling. Very powerful guy. That's the worst thing, is to see powerful men as they shrink. No, that's no joke. I had an uncle once. He was the athlete of the family. He ran in the 1930s in the New York Marathon. I couldn't believe it. I always saw him as like a, you know, an old uncle kind of guy. I didn't know. Old to me was like 45, 50 when I was a kid. You know, old. Then when he got old, it was like, they showed us pictures of him in a New York Marathon. I didn't even know there was one. Slim, athletic, muscular, with a number on his chest. And he was like a vegetarian. Oh, liver cancer got him. Suffered like crazy. They tortured him to death, the cancer doctors. I went to that hospital. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And my aunt, the Russian I told you, who took me into, who wouldn't trust the butcher to give her the meat. She trusted nobody because she was smarter than everybody. She'd go in the butcher store in the summer in the Catskill Mountains when I can't even say his name because he could have relatives who could sue me. We'll say John the Butcher. She'd pick out chopped meat in the front, a steak to chop up for chopped meat. Instead of having the grinder in the front of the butcher store, he had it in the freezer. Now it's the summer. It's 103 degrees in South Fallsburg, New York. She has a fur coat on. He goes in the back. He shows her the steak that she picks out for her son to make into chopped meat, because she wouldn't buy pre-ground chopped meat. That's how they were in those days. Not like you. You eat meat from, you don't know where it's from. A hoof from Brazil, a nostril from China, an intestine from Swaziland, all mixed up into hamburger meat. You're eating snout and hoof mixed in with gut. So she picked the steak in the front of the butcher store, and this guy, and the same ethnic group, by the way, this is not ethnic this, ethnic that, same ethnic group, spoke the same language, and he'd say to her, look at this beautiful steak, and he'd march into the freezer to grind it up. Now, I was the butcher boy. He didn't give her the steak. If anyone ordered a steak to grind up, he put it on the top shelf. He turned the machine on. So he had a machine working outside the freezer door, and he had pre-ground, like chuck, already ground up, waiting to give them. She knew his tricks. She'd bring a fur coat in the summer and go in the freezer with him to make sure he was grinding up the meat. So now I'm going to speed the clock forward. Maybe you're bored already. You want to hear a Trump all day long? Trump and Cruz. Cruz and Trump. Trump and Cruz and Cruz and Trump. Trump and Cruz and Cruz and Trump. Ronald Reagan, Constitution, Cruz and Trump. Trump and Cruz. Constitution, Constitution, Trump and Cruz. Trump and Cruz. National Review, Constitutional, Constitution. Trump and Cruz. Ronald Reagan. Conservative, conservative, conservative. Real conservative, real conservative. Trump and Cruz. Cruz and Trump. So she goes into the freezer, okay, to make sure that he doesn't cheat her on the hamburger. Now, years later, my athletic uncle, who was a vegetarian all his life, has liver cancer, and he's dying in Long Island Jewish Hospital and moaning in the bed, and you want to bang your head through a mirror when you hear that. The pain that people endure in this sick nation of ours because they don't give them the drugs that are available. They should put everyone on heroin. It's enough to make your wife want to go down to like the meanest streets in Harlem or wherever they have to go. Today, probably you don't have to go that far. Maybe just go to the doctor. He probably has a stash in a closet. And just get an injectable heroin. She screams at the young intern, who's doing nothing for my uncle's pain, and she says, what good are you? You can't cure and you can't kill. Now, this is a woman who never went to college. How come she knew that? How come she had such common sense? How come she did? That's how she was. And now sometimes I think that that's where I got my common sense from these people. These immigrant people who saw life as it was, made up their own decisions. They didn't need some moron in a newspaper to tell them what to think. They didn't need some idiot on television to tell them what to think. And they certainly knew all politicians were crooked and liars. I mean, they weren't shocked by that. You say to the politician, crooked and liars, that's all. What else do they need to know? They would want to get near them? So you're shocked by it? 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-THIS, 400, I don't even know my number. My mind's on the cardiologist because they got to shave him under the paw. Other than thing, I don't know what they do with that. Like, I put him in a harness? He's going to go crazy, this guy. He's like a wild animal, my dog. He doesn't like to be constrained. It's like a wild dog, this dog. 11 years old, what does he know? They got to, like, shave him under the armpits for the cardiogram? You know, but for the grace of God, there goeth I. I think of my father with the cardiogram before he died. The wires on him. Nobody wants to see. It's like, you don't want to see a strong man get weak. I hated when my father got sick. I never told you that story. Do you know that I resented him for getting sick? Would you believe that? We come from such strong-minded people. We come from such strong stock that we consider illness a weakness. Would you believe this? Robert, I swear to God, I was told never to get sick, never complain about it, keep it to yourself, take an aspirin and leave me alone. And by the way, go to work at the same time and do your homework and go to school. I don't care what you have. I was raised that way. So you take a strong man who is your basically your ruler. He's your God. He gets a heart attack. He's laying in an oxygen tent and he's weak. I was mad at him. He disappointed me. He wasn't supposed to get sick. What do you know? You see, kids don't know that much about life. We're just humans. We all get sick and die. You understand that? It's a nice thought, isn't it? A nice Monday after a snowstorm. I mean, you'd rather do Currier and Ives right now. All the New Yorkers are like playing in the snow. Of course, all the evil ones are back out on the streets. The drugs are being sold. The prostitutes are hooking. Pickpockets are out. The thieves are back out. During the storm, it was probably great. If you had a pair of cross-country skis, it was probably safe to ski down Fifth Avenue. You could ski in areas the police wouldn't even go to on Saturday. Now, by now, Saturday, it's all gone. The cars are plowed in, this and that. It's beautiful. Snow is gorgeous. It's so purifying. But the problem with it only comes down in one hue. That's the problem. What kind of racist God would create snow in only one hue? I think that's a topic that Hollywood has to come up with. That they should never, if they show snow, it cannot be in a single hue anymore. It has to be rainbow snow. I think what they have to do is make sure that if they show snow in a movie from now on, that they're not racist or homophobic, and that the snow should be put into a Technicolor version in many colors, because it may offend, I don't know who it might offend, but it'll offend somebody at Harvard, or somebody at Columbia may get offended by the fact that snow in movies is white. I'll be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Sounds like they're tough and mean. There is no Germany anymore. We're the German men. A bunch of wimps and degenerates took over Germany, and they put them in a corral. That's so like in England. Take a look what's running England. The tough men who created, the descendants of the tough men who created England, they're put in a corral. If they march in the streets to defend England, they're called a racist by the EU. The EU is the new Soviet Union, but okay, you don't know it because you didn't read it in the college newspaper. The EU is an emerging Soviet Union. Light. Okay? So there are no prison camps, comma, yet. There are no re-education camps except in everyday life, in every school, in every newspaper. In every university, every broadcast is a re-education camp conducted by the deviants on the left. This is how smart they become. This is how they've done it. This is how they do it. And it's happening here, too. It's why I wrote Government Zero. It's what makes me get up in the morning. It's why I do it. Ben on KBET Radio. Ben, what's on your mind? Fire away.
I think you were making a really good point that what's wrong with our country these days is not so much that we're weak. And what you were talking about is about how you were raised. You were raised to be strong in your story.
Right. I was not inherently strong. I was inherently a kid. I was shaped by a strong immigrant family who didn't have time nor an inclination to let me indulge my weaknesses is the point.
Exactly. And I think we need to be doing that more with our children that we're raising.
Well, good luck. I mean, we had PE classes that were amazing. If I ever tell you what we had to do in our gym classes, your hair would stand up. I remember to this day, they had ropes hanging from the ceiling, where you had to climb in front of the whole class, the gym class. The boys had to climb the ropes hand over hand and foot over foot, right? and get to the ceiling and touch the ceiling. This came directly from military training in World War II. Think of what I'm saying to you. As you're climbing the rope, believe me, I looked down and didn't, I was always afraid of heights. It was not easy for me, but I learned I had to do it or I would be ashamed by being shamed in front of the whole group of boys. So I looked up instead of looking down, and I got to the ceiling, and then I came down the rope. The point is, they could not put ropes in a gym today because they'd be called this thing or that. They'd be discriminating against this one. That one would cry. The one would fall off a rope. The other one couldn't get up the rope, and he'd call a teacher. Then a teacher would call the cops. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
Can you believe that we had that in PE class? Ropes in a gym? All right. I guess you can't believe it. No one could believe it. We had a rifle range. I'll tell you the story for the 50th time. Jamaica High School. When I was a kid, I went to Jamaica High School, city in Queens, New York. There was a rifle team. In the basement, there was a rifle range. They issued us guns. Pay attention, Hillary Clinton. They issued us boys rifles. I think they were Ruger target rifles, I'm pretty sure. I forget the name of the gun. And we would shoot the guns. The men who taught us were Korean War vets. Or if they were older, they were World War II veterans, grizzled old guys. They taught us to respect the weapon. They taught us how to load and unload a weapon, how to carry a weapon. Nobody shot themselves in the rifle range. Not one kid took the gun and ran upstairs shooting the gun. Nobody. Why is that? There were no drugs. The doctors didn't yet dispense Adderall, Ritalin, Prozac, and other mind-bending drugs on the kids. They were not available. They didn't exist. They didn't exist. They existed in primitive forms as street drugs. But they didn't exist in the way now the boys are just decimated from almost from birth. The point I'm making is I don't know if anyone can save the country. It's not so much a God's going to come down and save America. The people have changed. Everyone wants a free ride, an easy ride. No one wants to work. Very few of us want to work. I mean, I'm motivated. I come from another time. I was created a long time ago. There's a lot of people who work hard. Many of you work hard. But that's not the norm in the country anymore. The concept of hard work is considered, if I'm not mistaken, they said you're not allowed to say hard work. I think the Black Lives Matter movement put out a whole missive against words you can't use in schools. One of them was hard work will get you what you want. Do you remember that? We read that whole list of things that is considered racist to say things like that? That you were insulting someone's race by saying hard work? I couldn't believe this. You say there's no re-education camps in America? Oh, my friends, there are re-education camps. They're called our public schools, universities, corporate re-education camps. Wherever you turn, re-education camps. So what are we going to do about it? I don't know. I can't change the world. I spent 21 years in the radio thus far, and I've done all I can do, speaking, writing, cajoling, lobbying, filibustering every day for hours on the radio. That's what I do. I filibuster 3 hours a day. God gave me the gift of the microphone. I use it to filibuster what I believe to be eternal truths about God, family, country, hard work, etc. And I have some fun here and there. Sometimes it's not that much fun. And what effect has it had? We wind up the antithesis of everything that we believe in winds up ruining America. He has a name, and he gets away with it. Every day he does more damage to the country, and each day he does, I sit and wonder, how is he not stopped? Why don't they impeach him? When are they going to react to him? And he says, I'm going to see every last ounce of change out of the time I have left. He is a very dangerous, sick puppy.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave on deep.
Go to clip one, Robert. That'll set off the hour. Clip one, Mr. Obama, the President of the United States of America.
My number one priority is having a Democratic president succeed me. And I think there's no doubt that given our history, mm-hmm. I want more women in politics generally, and I want my daughters to feel that there's nothing they can't do. I don't think that Democrats are going to vote for Hillary just because she's a woman, any more than they're going to vote for Bernie just because they agree with him on one particular issue.
Mm. Then he goes on in clip two with an interview with the government media complex outlet called Politico, which is owned lock, stock, and barrel wholeheartedly by the government. Listen to clip two.
I am very proud of what we've gotten done over these last 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited about what we can do this last year.
You hear this?
A singular regret for me is the fact that our body politic has become more polarized.
Shut
the language, the
spirit
has become
meaner.
When I came in. And
it had nothing to do with it, though. This is a guy who sets a house on fire.
Some of it just has to do with some long-term trends that have accelerated in terms of how the media is balkanized, gerrymandering.
Oh, you're full of garbage. It's because you're a polarizing, lying communist. Shut up. The man set the world on fire, and he says he doesn't know why there's polarization. He pitted everyone against everyone else. He set race relations back 50 years. Listen to number three, how he tries to skate out of this one. Listen.
Race relations have deteriorated. They're terrible. I have to say, well, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but they're not worse than they were after the Rodney King incident in L.A. And they're certainly not worse than they were back in the 50s or the 60s. But we forget.
You know, I could say certain things about him right now that would be a waste of your time. If we had a national dialogue that was based on facts, A, he wouldn't have been president. B, he would have been impeached before the second term. So what can you say about this? Listen to what he says in clip four. This is why I say to you, don't think that if Trump becomes president, he's suddenly going to have a magic wand. Listen to four.
What you discover when you're president is that the institutions and programs and things that you have put in place and built, if you've done a good job and you've done them sensibly, you know, in some cases may need tinkering with, can be improved. But if they're good things, they're harder to undo than you think.
What he's saying is he's put poison pills in every one of his socialist, communist doings, which will make it very hard to undo. But what he doesn't know is that because he has been a demon in bypassing Congress and using his pen to get what he wants, the executive order, that means that when Donald Trump becomes president, as I hope he does, he will use the very same powers that have been put in place by Harry Reid and Barack Obama to not only undo, but to bring America back to its greatness. That opens up hour number three on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-407-282. Here are some other stories. It's like only in America. Texas eighth grader suspended for rescuing classmate during asthma attack. What? Yep. Washington Post. Anthony Ruelas watched what seemed like an eternity as his classmate wheezed and gagged in a desperate struggle to breathe. The girl told classmates that she was having an asthma attack. But her teacher refused to let anyone leave the classroom. Instead, the teacher emailed the school nurse and waited for a reply, telling students to stay calm and remain in their seats. When the student having the asthma attack fell out of her chair several minutes later, student Ruelas decided he couldn't take it anymore and took action. He said, "We ain't got time to wait for no email from the nurse." A teacher's report quotes him as saying, according to Fox News Latino. And with that, the 15-year-old Gateway Middle School student carried his stricken classmate to the nurse's office, violating his teacher's orders. And for this, he is suspended in the new prison camp called America. Juveniles given life in prison can seek review, possibly parole, Supreme Court rules. Inmates who were sentenced to life imprisonment as juveniles should be able to file for a reevaluation and possibly attain parole. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today in a 6-3 ruling. The High Court ruled that a decision prohibiting minors from being sentenced to life in prison without parole should be retroactive to include all applicable cases. In delivering the opinion for the court, Justice Anthony Kennedy said the ruling doesn't automatically grant parole, just the right to a review, which could lead to parole. Now, remember that Missouri University professor who screamed, "We want muscles! We want muscle!" Remember her? That gingy-haired one? You know the type. You know the type of girl, the pushy girl who uses the muscle of the thugs during the riots on the campus? She tried to throw a reporter off the campus who was covering it, and he wouldn't leave. She said, "We want muscle over here!" Well, MU professor Melissa Click, who called for muscle to remove reporter charged with assault. By the way, she's still there as a tenured professor. Assistant professor of the Department of Communications. By the way, this is the biggest joke of all. Communications. Okay, I don't even want to go in there. What's the point of bashing that? Okay, let's take some calls. 855-400-7282 on the Savage Nation. And until we get you up on the board, be patient, because there's so many people calling right now. We have exactly one open line. 855-407-282. Obama goes on in clip number 5 to say that the GOP debates are just performance art. Now, what's interesting here is that there are no Democrat debates at all. It's a stooge act between Hillary and Bernie Sanders, the spritzer. The GOP is an actual debate, a true debate. But listen to what the lying president says in 05.
They're performance art as opposed to talking about stuff. They're useful in the sense of seeing how somebody performs. And you know what? Some of the presidency's performance. And I've been criticized probably in some cases fairly for not effectively promoting my ideas.
Excuse me? What did he just say? Robert, do you know what the President of the United States just said? He calls the Republican debates performance art while not saying one word about the Harridan versus the commie. Now we go to the Harridan. Clinton laughs off questions about a lack of enthusiasm about her candidacy in clip 6.
You know, I feel great that we have the level of enthusiasm that we do. And we also have a really good team on the ground that has been working for months to make sure that it's not just here today, gone tomorrow, but people are involved, they are really reached out to, and we believe they're going to come caucus. So, you know, this speculation and all the rest of it is entertaining, I admit that, but we're just going to keep moving forward and do the work that we think is going to be successful on February 1st.
She's whistling in the dark. She's whistling in the dark. Unbelievable to me. Hillary says Bloomberg won't run if I... Why is Bloomberg throwing his nose into this? What is that about? He knows no one likes him outside of the environs of one zip code of Manhattan. The man is liked within one zip code of Manhattan, which surrounds the mayor's residence, which means that the few staff members left there still like him. How could this man do this? Because he was jealous that Trump trumped him on this? So let's skip Hillary on that. And then let's go to Hillary now attacking the FBI in clip 8.
I'm not concerned because I know what the facts are. I never sent or received any material marked classified. I cannot control what the Republicans leak and what they are contending.
Excuse me, Mrs. Clinton. Mrs. Clinton, the world knows that you sent such top secret emails on your private server that even senior members of Congress are not allowed to read them. That's a fact. It's a fact, Mrs. Clinton. And you can't take back facts, Mrs. Clinton, no matter how you try to lie your way out of it. Listen to clip 9.
Back a couple of months ago, Kevin McCarthy spilled the beans that the Benghazi investigation was all about bringing me down, something that I suspected, but I went ahead, testified for 11 hours, answered all their questions,
all
and
right,
even they admitted...
Yeah, of course it's to bring you down, because you committed a crime. Of course to bring you down. You let men die at Benghazi. Of course it was to bring you down, but you were smarter than the dunces, the weaklings on the Republican Party. Hillary on saying this. Can you imagine this person as commander-in-chief? She said that? Oh, let me hear one. 11, I finally agree with Hillary Clinton. I can't believe this. I said that on Thursday. Listen to number 11.
When I am out there talking with people about what we have to go up against here at home, get the economy working for everybody, not just those at the top. Begin to raise incomes, which hasn't happened. Deal with health care, going from 90% coverage, which is what we have under the Affordable Care Act now,
to 100%,
and I lay out what I intend to do to get there. I can only tell you that I see people nodding. I know people are signing up.
It's not good enough to have socialized medicine for 90% of the population. She would like it so you get free health care, and they give you a check for $1,000 every time you come in. Well, what is she talking about? Where does this money come from? Now it gets even more personal in number 12.
It is very personal, and people look and they think, you know, can we imagine this person to be president and commander-in-chief? And because of my experience, and particularly my years as Secretary of State working with President Obama, I think that's something that people really take into account.
Wait a minute, your years as Secretary of State when you unleashed the Arab Spring on the world and caused the refugee crisis that the world is now experiencing, that makes you commander-in-chief? That makes you a psycho criminal. We live in such a country that a criminal act like that is not punished. That's what it means. Not that it makes you a commander-in-chief. Now, we're saving the best soundbite of this segment for this one. To many people, George Soros is a rogue who should have been arrested by Interpol a long time ago. But because he is so wealthy and so powerful and has bought so many politicians and owns so many media outlets, he acts as though he is as innocent as the driven snow. Listen to number 13.
Donald Trump is doing the work of ISIS. ISIS,
evil,
and before that Al-Qaeda, discovered the Achilles heel of Western civilization, the fear of death. And when it interferes with reason.
Did you hear what he just said? It made no sense, incidentally. He took three disconnected sentences and put them together. Donald Trump, he says, is doing the work of ISIS. ISIS and before that Al-Qaeda has discovered the Achilles heel of Western civilization, the fear of it interferes with reason. Sounds like he has phlegm in his throat. The man has phlegm on his brain. How do he make so many billions of dollars betting against money? Okay, so here is a man who many think should be arrested. The minute Interpol catches him anyway, he should be arrested and his assets seized for what he has done to this country and the world. Now he's attacking Donald Trump. Actually, there's a P on that, Mr. Soros. His last name has a P on the end of it. It's not Donald Trump. Maybe that's how you did it in old Hungary. You drop the P at the end of the word. But in English, there's a P at the end of the word. You say Trump. You don't say Donald Trump. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Is the Savage Nation. Let's take a quick call, okay? Dane, KSFO, San Francisco, what's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, many a times when I'm listening, you say, if you agree with me, raise your hand. Well, this is a true story. I raised my hand in my car, looked to the left of me, I see a woman raising her hand, and we looked at each other, smiled and laughed. You were talking about Trump, and we now, two together, have raised over 150 people together we've got for Trump's staunch reporters. In July, we're having a massive event just from listening to you and raising my hand in the car, as you do so all the time. It was a classic moment, and two people who never met each other before have now have 150 people. We have a big
event. And that's just in the San Francisco area. You know, years ago, I remember being on an early evening, and I would say to people, if you're listening to the show right now, they say I don't exist, flash your headlights for Savage. And I go, one, two, three, and then lights would go. And people would call from Texas, New York, San Francisco. They'd say, Mike, I saw cars flashing their lights. So the audience is pretty big. It's much bigger than you would imagine. I'm excluded from every conversation. If the New York Times refers to talk show hosts, or if despicable people who report on Fox News talk about talk shows, they never mention me. Because the unpopular reality is that I am the intellectual leader of the conservative movement in the United States media. No matter what anyone may say, it's been my books, it's been my leadership, it's been my motto, borders, language, and culture for years. But I really don't need that credit. What I need is people to understand the danger we are in. I'm going to tell you something now that's going to be a topic for tomorrow. Do you know who invented the word racist? Give me your immediate impression of the word racist. It is the most effective fear word in the leftist arsenal. And they've used it to give us Barack Obama. They've used it to brainwash young children and young college students. They've used the word racist to teach people to hate their own nation. They've used it to teach white children to hate their own race. They've used it to teach white people to hate their own culture. Who invented the word racism?
One of the two.
Dane, stay on the line because you're not going to believe what I'm telling you. Did you know that the word racism was not developed by a liberal sociologist? It was not developed in the 1960s. It was not developed by the Democratic Party. The word racism was invented by none other than one of the architects of the Soviet prison camp, the founder and first leader of the infamous Red Army, Leon Trotsky. And this is an incredible article by Dustin Stanley in a blog that I found. And he goes to the original Russian, and it shows Leon Trotsky's 1930 work, The History of the Russian Revolution, from which he shows a passage. And the last word in that passage is a Russian word, which in Latin transliteration means racists. And what he was referring to were Slavs in the old Soviet Union who loved their native culture and way of life and wanted to protect their way of life. The communist Trotsky saw them as impediments to his international communist plans. So when you use the word racism, you are being a very good Trotskyite. Let's move on to some of the headlines on michaelsavage.com. Let's see what I have up there. UK. New reforms give immigrants with more than one wife extra benefits. Isn't that tolerant? Isn't that wonderful on the Cameron? That if someone from, let's say, a throwback country that beats their women, beats their children, wants to have six of them like six puppies, and he dresses them head to toe. Take a look at that piece of garbage with the headscarf on. Take a look at that filth that they brought in there. That filth can walk the streets of England and I can't. Look at, he's walking around with two wives with black covering their whole bodies. They look like they're wearing tent awnings that fell down upon them. And that's marching around England. He gets more benefits because he has extra wives. How can a nation survive its fools? It cannot. Look how we're doing in this country under the fool in the White House. He thinks he's fooling the world. Two Israeli injured, one in critical condition by Palestinian terrorists. You don't care about that. Another one broke into a house and stabbed the mother in front of six children. What's the difference? Another one broke in and stabbed two women today in their houses in Israel. What's the difference? Just Jews. Jewish blood's cheap. Glenn Beck says he prefers Bernie Sanders over Trump. I mean, you surprised? Let's see what else. Is dementia risk falling? Shows a surprising drop in some countries. The risk of dementia and Alzheimer's. Would you believe that? Isn't that good news? The sky is not falling, by the way, and everything. Some things are good. Now, let me give you a quick one-minute diversion if you're just listening and you're bored to death because you were in the snow and the slush and football and you want to hear about idiots with balls banging into each other. God bless you. It's a big world. There's a lot of people in it. People have to do what they have to do. One of my hobbies is watching birds. I live next to the water in San Francisco. There's thousands of sea fowl of many species feeding on the sardines. And it's very reassuring for a while. And now I can't stand it. I want to get out the shotgun. They're waking me. They're keeping me awake at night. They're squawking as the schools come in next to the house, driving me nuts. The house stinks of like, the house even stinks of the fish that they're ripping apart with the eggs falling out. Of course, I'm not going to shoot them. I mean, they're doing what they do. But one of the things that I love about all of this is that it shows that San Francisco Bay is so healthy. The birds are healthy. The fish are healthy. Do you know why the birds are healthy and the fish are healthy and the water is relatively clean? Because of environmental wackos from 40 years ago. The very environmental wackos that oafs in the media call environmental wackos, because of them, we have clean waters, cleaner air than you would ever imagine. Had there been no environmental wackos, as some cigar-smoking oafs in the media would have you believe, the bays would be polluted. The air would be unbreathable. Do you understand that this is where government comes in? Do you understand that limited government is required, that we can't live in anarchy? So I'm telling you that without the environmental wackos, you know what you'd have? Let alone San Francisco Bay, which is rather pure right now. You can eat the fish. The birds are healthy. It's because of the environmental wackos of 40 years ago. I'm trying to explain something to you. See, you can be a knee-jerk conservative just as you can be a knee-jerk liberal. And that's something I've been trying to tell you now for weeks. Knee-jerk conservatives say the same thing every day. You want me to just liberal bash every day? I've done it for 20 years. It's boring. I invented liberal bashing. So why should I go on with it? I wrote Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. Why should I go on with it? As you well know, the big thing is this Saturday. Tonight's a stooge debate of some kind of town hall meeting. Who knows what it is? With Hillary and the commie there. Who's going to watch that garbage? She's finished. And the thing is, we read that Trump may skip the Fox debate for his own town hall, which I've recommended for months now. I've said on the air, I don't call him up and say, Donald, how are you? Enjoying the meatloaf? I don't say that. I've said it on the radio. I assume he has people listen to radio. He knows what people are saying about him, as he should. He's running a presidential campaign. He knows that the socialists disguised as Cruz supporters, crony socialists, have been supporting Cruz. Now they've jumped ship and they're supporting Trump because they see which way the wind is blowing. And he knows I've supported him from the get-go because I know that he's the best for America. He's the only chance we have to save the country. Now we read that he may skip the Fox debate for his own town hall unless they dump her. Now, I said the same thing. What does he need these debates for? He is so far ahead that his absence would be a greater presence than his presence. That's all. There's a Britain First movement, which I didn't know existed until I found it on my own Facebook page. A listener posted it, and I could not believe there's such a group. There are Christian patrols in Muslim neighborhoods. They're marching through Muslim neighborhoods holding crosses. You should see the hate coming out of the Muslims who scream at them, it's our country, get out of our neighborhood. Yeah, these are big British guys. These are the British types that built Britain before the... I have such contempt for the vermin who have taken over the West, those suicidal liberals who have stolen Britain from the Brits, stolen America from the Americans. Well, anyway, there's a Britain First movement, and they're marching through Muslim neighborhoods with crosses, giving out newspapers. Naturally, the vermin in the media are calling them names like racist and whatnot. The real racists are the Muslims who scream, get out of our country, get out of our town. We'll take over your country. You cannot believe this. Britain First carries out Christian patrol in Islamist hotspot. This is good. They said this is a Christian country. The Muslims are screaming, get out of here. We're going to take over this country. We have a new report from the radio industry. Inside Radio has reported that afternoon drive is the king of radio time. I've always known that. It says radio stations have always made it a priority to corral listeners with strong morning drive shows that amp brand loyalty and ratings. It is, however, actually afternoon drive that draws the highest cume. The fact may not be a news flash to programmers, but anyway, I've known this since I began in radio. And then they explain it. I happen to have an afternoon drive show. PM drive is 3 p.m. till the show is over on the East Coast, noon on the West Coast, which is why I move my time to noon on the West Coast, which is a little bit of a stretch for my people on the West. They like to listen to me in the afternoon. And they say the audience drops dramatically after 6 p.m. on the East Coast. It drops to a very, very low amount, to an insignificant amount. People don't pay attention to it, which I've known also, by the way. Very interesting stuff. So I read this on Friday, No Man Is an Island by John Donne, and I'll read it again. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were. As well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. And that shows the connection, the interconnection between all of humanity. Everyone seems to know that, except extremists of the practitioner of the religion of pieces. They don't see themselves as part of humanity. They see humanity as garbage, filth, vermin to be killed, murdered, maimed in the most horrible ways. How can a world tolerate such an offshoot of humanity as this and disguise it as something to be accepted? How can Britain import people who see themselves as not only superior to the British while they're living on welfare, but something that will replace the British itself? How can they not throw them out of the country? How can we have a president who seems to side with the worst elements of humanity and attack the best elements of humanity? Going after... I was on a tear just now. I got to slow down. It's Monday. All right, here's a hot story. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook is back from paternity leave. That means about 50,000 workers will be fired so they can be replaced from H-1B visa workers from India at half the price. I mean, while he was away, they probably had a job. Now forget about it. 2 months of paternity leave. His wife, Dr. Priscilla Chan, gave birth to the couple's first child, a daughter named Max, at the end of November. I got to pause here. Let me put it in a nice way. I see all these celebrities having children, and they think that when they have a child, it's the first child ever born on Earth. They think it's something divine, which is something normal, by the way, for parents. And they think that their child's going to be different than every other child ever born. Of the billions of children ever born, only their celebrity child will be different, smarter, better, brighter. Well, it can't happen statistically. And every time I see another celebrity in Hollywood who takes time out from snorting coke or using ecstasy or speed to clean up for a few months to have a child, and then go back to her wayward ways, I pity the poor child that she has. And I say to myself, yeah, get back to me when the child's 13. Then get back to me when the child's 16. What are they telling us to have this wonderful child for? What are they using it as a new handbag that they just bought? Why don't they just raise the child instead of telling me about it? And who names a daughter Max and expects her to grow up like normal? You name your daughter Max is like throwing a negative at her. Why don't you give her a girl's name? What do you mean Max? What, the name for his father? Who names a child a man's name? Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Wasn't Obama's mother's name Stanley? Wasn't her mother's name Stanley? Something weird like that. How'd that work out for America? Well, the thing is, I mean, there's such a thing as evolution and breaking down norms and everything's equal. That's wonderful. But let's look at the actual results. You know, let's look at the results of all these ideas. These ideas haven't really worked out that well. This idea of anarchy, has it? I'm in a weird mood. Today's the cardiology day. Not a big deal. I understand it's only a dog. To you, it's like a turkey or a bird. Most of you don't care about animals. All right, I do. I'm a bit odd like that. At night, I worry about animals, things like that. I think about where are they going, how do they live. I think of the swans. I think of the swallows. I think about how they fly so far and what noble creatures they are. I think about those things, like how does God create such a wonderful system such as this? You look at the animals that fly thousands of miles in a migration, and you look at the things flying over a mountain. This was done by a French cinematographer years ago. And you ask yourself, how in the world do these animals have such fortitude where they barely have the energy to get over the Himalayas on their migration? And you see them struggling. That French photographer, I don't know how he did this. I don't know if you ever saw this thing, National Geographic, years ago. And they fly over the mountain. And they use the very last ounce of energy to get over that mountain. And some of them don't make it. They drop right out of the sky. Survival of the fittest, my friend. Now you say, what are you getting at, Michael? Should a society be based upon survival of the fittest? No. We have to take care of our weak. Those who are born disabled have to have help. We have to help the weak ones and the sick ones. But when we have 15 million Americans claiming disability, you know that those federal disability benefits are not going to the most needy. You know. You know how many billions of dollars a month are being sucked out by liars who are faking disability. Do you know how many phony immigrants come in here under asylum claims when there is no need for that asylum, and they suck the system dry? You're telling me that that's what a sane society does, and it doesn't crack down on these leeches and these parasites? So you want me to tell you that I don't know what's going on? I mean, I study nature, and I know societies are different than nature. Human societies are organized in many ways, but one of the things a human society does is make sure that those who are very, very sick or disabled are helped by the healthy people. That's a good thing. But what happens when you have leeches and parasites who use that disability to suck the system dry, or use their sexuality to pretend that they're victims, or use their immigrant status to claim that they're victims of racism, a term invented by the communists in order to shut everybody up? What do you do when you have a thing like that? You get a new president and he cleans house, which is why the Republicans and the Democrats and the media hate Donald Trump. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. All right, you heard it first in the Savage Nation. If the Attorney General's office does not indict Hillary Clinton, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Tom DeLay said that the FBI will go ahead without the Attorney General's office and indict Hillary Clinton directly. They will blow the whistle on what she did, and they will go public with their findings, according to former U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay. He went on and said they're ready to recommend an indictment, and they also say that if the Attorney General does not indict Hillary Clinton, they're going public. As you may know, Clinton is under FBI investigation for her use of a private server to conduct confidential governmental business while she was Secretary of State. Are you ready for this? However, cowardly Republicans say that any FBI recommendation that hurts Clinton will be squashed by the Obama administration. Once again, they're giving in advance. The surrender monkeys in the Republican Party have given in advance. But, Mr. DeLay said, one way or another, she's going to be indicted and that process begins, or we try her in the public eye with her campaign. One way or another, Hillary's going to have to face these charges. Now, what's strange here is that last week, Clinton accused the Inspector General, Charles McCulloch, of colluding with Republicans to damage Clinton's campaign for president. The fact is that McCulloch is an independent appointed by both parties. It's crazy. But then we're living in Hillary Clinton's world. And if you want more of this, go ahead and vote for her. Filmmakers behind Planned Parenthood videos were just indicted. That came up on the Drudge Report just a few minutes ago. The Harris Grand Jury has indicted the filmmakers behind the Planned Parenthood videos. Do you know how sick this country is? Instead of inviting those who were selling baby body parts for a profit, they've indicted those who disclosed that they were selling baby body parts. Only in this corrupt nation could this happen. Videographers David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt were both indicted on charges of tampering with a governmental record, a second-degree felony that carries a punishment of up to 20 years in prison. Now, if we lived in a nation where there was still a media, there would be screams from ABC, CBS, NBC, and of course MSNBC, saying you may disagree with the videographers, but they are reporters, and they had every right to do this. But because MSNBC has now fallen to the level of Rachel Maddow, and there is no media anymore, they now attack the reporters instead of the baby killers. Can you believe this? Harris County DA Devon Anderson announced the surprising indictments today after a so-called two-month investigation. This is America today. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about two videographers, two reporters, being indicted for a crime that could put them in jail for 20 years, while the women who butcher and sell baby body parts for profit get to drink their wine in peace? Only in America. But then again, you worried about who won the football game, and I'm not. This is the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. Donald Trump tomorrow. Tell your friends. Go to Facebook. Michael Savage on Facebook with your questions.